सुप्रभात जी, वेलकम टू भक्ति संगा जयपा कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल. टुडे वी आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हिज ग्रेस रोहिणी प्रिया प्रभु जी टू एनलाइटन अस ऑन द टॉपिक ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 19 वर्स 22. बिफोर आई हैंड ओवर द कॉल टू प्रभु जी, आई वुड लाइक टू आस्क राज प्रभु टू गिव अ ब्रीफ इंट्रोडक्शन ऑफ प्रभु जी. हरि बोल राज प्रभु जी, ओवर टू यू प्रभु.
Hare Krishna, Mate Dhanva Pranam. I am unable to put my video on. I need to.
That's fine, Prabhuji. You can read if you don't have the video. That's fine.
Sure. Dhanva Pranam to all the assembled devotees and all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are you able to listen to me, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, we can hear you. Yes, yes.
His grace. His brief introduction to Prabhuji. His grace, Rohini Priya Prabhuji, is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji came to Krishna consciousness in early 90s and he is consequently joined the Pune temple as a full-time brahmachari. In 1995, he moved to ISKCON Chapati, Mumbai, India. He served as the director of ISKCON Youth Form Chapati for many years. Then Prabhuji served as a temple management committee member at ISKCON Chapati. He also served as a member of Committee for Spiritual Vision at ISKCON Chapati. From 1996, he started traveling to Aurangabad, Maharashtra, India. In addition to his services in Mumbai, he fills the lives of people with the joy of Krishna consciousness by his practical, mesmerizing spiritual discourses. He also counsels and guides many people, especially the youth. He currently serves as a general manager at ISKCON Aurangabad, Maharashtra, India. Under his able guidance, ISKCON Aurangabad is a dynamic and flourishing, offering tribute to Srila Prabhupada's legacy and glory. Prabhuji visits North America regularly, especially the USA and Canada, and shares the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhuji has been actively distributing the message of Bhagavad Gita to thousands of engineering and medical students and other professionals all over India and over the world. He is an inspiration to many professionals and youth all over the world. This was a brief introduction for Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanva Pranam, welcome to the call. Over to you, Mataji. Yeah, Mataji, thank you. I will have to disconnect and then join again.
Sure, thank you so much for the brief introduction. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association this morning. Really, we are very fortunate to have you on the call. Welcome to the call, Prabhu, and take over the call, Prabhu. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobheshtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshutarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19. The chapter is entitled A Description of the Island of Jambudvipa, text number 22. Kim Dushkarair Naha Kratubhyas Tapovratair Danadibhir Va Dyujaina Falguna, sorry, Falguna Na Yatra Narayana Pada Pankajas Vrithi Pramoshtati Shayendriyotsavat Kim Dushkarena Kratubhistapo Vrate Danadi Bhirvadyu Jayena Phalguna Nayatra Narayana Pada Pankajas Smriti Pramoshtati Shayendriyotsavat Kim Dushkarena Kratubhistapovratair Danadibhirva Dyujayena Phalguna Nayatra Narayana Pada Pankaja Smriti Pramushtatisha Indriyotsavat Kim Dushkarena Kratubhistapovratair Tanadi bhirva dyujayena phalguna Nayatra narayana pada pankajas smriti pramushtati shayendriyotsavat. Synonyms, word for word meaning. Kim, what is the value? Dushkarehi, very difficult to perform. Naha, our. Kratubhihi, with performances of sacrifice, tapaha, with austerities, vratehi, vows, dana adi bhihi, with executing charitable activities and so on, va, or dyujayena, with achieving the heavenly kingdom, phalguna, which is insignificant, na, no, yatra, where, narayana pada pankaja, of the law of the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. Smritihi, the remembrance. Pramushta, lost. Atishaya, excessive. Indriyotsavat, due to material sense gratification. Translation: the demigods continue. After performing the very difficult tasks of executing Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, undergoing austerities, observing vows and giving charity, we have achieved this position as inhabitants of the heavenly planets. But what is the value of this achievement? Here we are certainly very engaged in material sense gratification, and therefore we can hardly remember the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. Indeed, because of our excessive sense gratification, we have almost forgotten his lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. The land of Bharatvarsha is so exalted that by taking birth there, one can not only attain the heavenly planets, but also go directly back home, back to Godhead. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti deva vrata devan, pitranyanti pitri vrataha, bhutani yanti bhutechya, yanti madhyajino pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. People in the land of Bharatvarsha generally follow the Vedic principles and consequently perform great sacrifices by which they can be elevated to the heavenly planets. However, what is the use of such great attainments? As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 9.21, Shine Punya Martya Lokam Vishanti. After the results of one's sacrifices, charity, and other pious activities expire, one must return to the lower planetary systems and again feel the pangs of birth and death. However, one who becomes Krishna conscious can go back to Krishna. Yanti Madhyajino Pimam, Bhagavad Gita 9.25. Therefore, the demigods even regret having been elevated to the higher planetary systems. The denizens of the heavenly planets regret that they could not take full advantage of being born in the land of Bharatvarsha. Instead, they became captivated by a higher standard of sense gratification, and therefore they forgot the lotus feet of Lord Narayan at the time of death. The conclusion is that one who has taken birth in the land of Bharatvarsha must follow the instructions given personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yad gatva na nivartante tad dham paramam mama. Bhagavad Gita 15.6. One should try to return home back to Godhead, to the Vaikuntha planets, or to the topmost Vaikuntha planet, Goloka Vrindavan, to live eternally in full blissful knowledge in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from the 19th chapter of Canto 5, Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the prayers or sincere words of the denizens of heaven. And they are looking at the residents of Jambudvipa. And this tract of land has some attributes. Those attributes are favorable for fulfilling the goal of human form of life. The denizens of heaven, in their prayer, are expressing their sincerity. Those in the higher planetary systems are generally favorably disposed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the middle planetary systems, the disposition to the Supreme, towards the Supreme Lord, is divided, or the favorable disposition to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is divided in the sense, individually, one can either be inclined towards Krishna, or one may not have the sincerity to be inclined towards Krishna. Those who are not inclined to be sincere are either lazy or maybe they are antagonistic. And those who are inclined towards Krishna, they try to engage their senses in serving the Supreme Lord. Here, the denizens of heaven in today's verse, they are expressing regret. They're expressing regret that they have got involved in matters that restrict their spiritual growth, or that slows down their spiritual growth, or their spiritual advancement is at a very slow pace. So they are expressing regret about this state of affairs. The denizens of the residents and the denizens of the upper planetary systems are great personalities. They have achieved these destinations by sincere practices. Just as in our present times, we may see that certain designations are offered and accepted by personalities with spiritual inclination. Certain personalities become guides, or they become leaders, and they are all spiritually minded. We are just speaking about a spiritually inclined society. So they get designations. Sometimes they get some facilities. For example, if we have respectful personalities in our community or in our gathering, then we out of respect and etiquette, we offer them certain facilities, a good place to sit, also facility to express their thoughts, share their experiences. You know, somebody is asked to give a presentation, somebody is given the best seat amongst all of us in a gathering. So this is etiquette, or this is how we offer our respect for their achievements, for their sincerity. Sometimes we may call them as advanced devotees, or we may consider ourselves to be junior to them. So there is etiquette. There is also our inclination to offering them certain facilities. So similarly, those who have performed, those who have sincerely done the prescribed activities, and they get another birth in this material creation, then they could achieve the higher planetary systems. This is definitely their glory. And those in the middle other planetary systems, we offer them respect. That is the etiquette. Hence, the denizens of heaven are given respect by those who are in the other planetary systems, including Bhuloka. Whatever be our material designation, individually, each one of us is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna. We are all spirit souls. So the natural inclination of the spirit soul is to serve Krishna. Only when there is a covering of ignorance, this natural inclination to serve Krishna is either diverted or it is covered over. So even in the heavenly planetary systems, we see that they are inclined towards Krishna. In fact, if you read the scriptures, we find that many a times, out of a desire for self-protection and also the preservation of the universe, it is the demigods and it is the denizens of the heavenly planetary systems that either go to Sri Brahmaji, or they go to the shores of the ocean of milk to request the Lord of Shvetadvip, Sri Hari, that he kindly intervene and mitigate the sufferings of the universe. Very rarely we find members of human society do that, but we always find the members of the heavenly society seeking the Lord's intervention through prayers for the welfare of the universe. And obviously, it also showcases the fact that they are interested in their own welfare too. Like everyone in this universe, there is some degree of self-interest. Plus, we also see that in the heavenly planets, the Supreme Lord, as the as Indranuj, as the younger brother of Indradev, King Mahendra, he constantly interacts with the denizens of the heavenly planetary systems. They may or may not have the deity forms of the Lord as we have here. However, scriptures state that in the present times, Lord Vamanadev is giving his merciful association to the denizens of heaven. So the denizens of heaven have so many facilities, and most of them make use of these facilities. Typically, they make use of these facilities to offer so many sacrifices to the Lord, to offer prayers to the Lord, to glorify the Lord. It is a very vibrant community from the spiritual perspective. Challenges are there as in any other part of the universe. The challenge is that they have a very good life. They do not have to do a 9-to-5 job. Even their bodily functions like eating or sleeping or excretion are quite different. Hence, the heavenly planets are quite sanitized from the miseries in the other planetary systems, specifically in the middle planetary system, the Bhuloka. So they have a higher standard of happiness, and their tastes of sense gratification are much different. Nonetheless, sense gratification leads to an opportunity to be distracted. When we try to gratify the senses, basically what it means is that we try to engage our senses in activities of the senses, which we call as sensuous activities. When we say sensuous activities, we are not typically only indicating unsolicited acts, let us say harmful activities or degraded acts. We are not speaking about that. When we say sensuous activities, we simply mean the senses being engaged with the object of the senses. For example, if we are standing in front of the deity of the Lord, then with our eyes we see the deity form of the Lord. So that is also a sensuous activity in the sense it is an activity of the sense of sight. Now, when we combine that with a favorable disposition, a favorable attitude, then that activity, rather than be sense gratification, it becomes service. So when we see the beautiful form of the Lord with our eyes, we glorify the various bodily limbs of the Lord as being beautiful, as being the object of all attraction. And that glorification facilitates the desire of the heart and the mind to serve the Lord. Because typically, if we find something very attractive, then we want to connect with that and do service. If we are simply seeing the form of the Lord and our thoughts and our mind is somewhere else, then at least the eyes are seeing something, are seeing a form that is beautiful or that is good. However, if our consciousness is elsewhere, then we are not deriving complete benefit of that occasion. So this is sensuous activity also. Typically, when we say sensuous activities, we may refer to activities that are harmful for spiritual progress. So typically, it can be used like that. However, the dictionary meaning of sensuous activities is activities of the senses. So that which distinguishes favorable sensuous activities from unfavorable sensuous activities is simply the motivation and also the activity to a certain extent. For example, if I'm harming another living entity without any need, and my consciousness is that I'm thinking of Krishna, so most probably that sensuous activity is not healthy. It is not helpful. However, if one is doing it for the protection of dharma, like Arjuna was doing when he was fighting in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, then it is this activity is favorable. On the other hand, if I am harming another living entity and that is unsanctioned, that is not upheld by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, even if my consciousness is favorably disposed towards Krishna, that act is not healthy, or it may not be healthy. The reason being, mahimsya sarvabhutani. If one is favorably inclined towards Krishna, then one does not want to harm other living entity unnecessarily. Another living entity. So sensuous activities. So even in the spiritual, in the heavenly planets, sensuous activities are there. They may not engage in degraded sensuous activities outrightly. However, wherever there is facility of sense activities, there is the opportunity to be distracted. There is the opportunity to forget Krishna. And this is what the demigods or the denizens of heaven are trying to point out here. The reason being, they see that in Bharatvarsha, the standard of living is such that one can be more favorably disposed towards Krishna. Reason being, there is sufficient opportunity to feel the miseries of material existence. And therefore, one can be an artharthi, or one can be an artho, one can want some improvement in one's financial standards, or one would want to be free from pain and misery. So one gets inclined towards Krishna. And such inclination, although not completely pure, is accepted by Krishna. They are called as Sukriti people, Sukritinaha. Those who come towards Krishna, Krishna gives them shelter. The Artha, the Artharthi, the Jnani, and the Bharat, and the Jigyasu. So Bhagavad Gita speaks of these four kinds of people. So in the middle planetary system, the Bhuloka, where we are right now, we are on one of the grahas here, one of the planets here. And here we find that these miseries of material existence are more pronounced, and therefore out of the desire to feel relief, one seeks shelter of Krishna. Whereas in the heavenly planetary systems, proportionately very less. Such opportunities arising out of material miseries are proportionately very, very less. So the denizens here are seeing how this is not available to them, and therefore they are expressing regret. And at least out of a desire to feel relief from pain, which is actually a strong motivation, at least out of that desire, at least having that opportunity to have that desire is helpful. And we do not have so many opportunities as those in Bharatvarsha. Also, there is so many instances of the Supreme Lord appearing in Bharatvarsha as an avatar. And specifically, when the Lord has such appearances, the performances of the Lord's attractive activities like the Balya Leela, the childhood pastimes of the Lord, are performed in Bharatvarsha and the or in Jambudvipa, like when he appears as Shri Krishna, or he descends as Sri Ramachandra, he descends as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see that the Lord exhibits his childhood pastimes. And the denizens of heaven miss out on that. They see these pastimes from far. They are very eager to roll in the dust of that tract of land where the Lord performs these pastimes. So this is the underlying theme of their prayer here in today's verse. And in Srila Prabhupada's purport, we see Srila Prabhupada emphasizing on the fact that somewhere we have to express our gratitude, and also we need to show our sincerity through our actions by realizing that we have these opportunities in Bharatvarsha, the human species. In Manushya Loka, we have these opportunities much more than those who are in the heavenly planetary systems. So, a grateful heart is more receptive to seek spiritual emancipation, to seek spiritual advancement. So how do we feel grateful? We can feel gratitude through hearing how the denizens of heaven here are expressing some regret and are glorifying existence in Bharatvarsha. So gratitude for our existence here. Gratitude leads to action. Typically, sometimes gratitude can lead to inaction. When one is very grateful, then one can be stunned. So that is possible. So externally, it may lead to inaction. But typically, when one is grateful, then it brings about feelings of wanting to surrender, feelings of wanting to offer respect, and feelings of wanting to render some kind of service. So these emotions are there. Srila Prabhupada's purport is emphasizing on that in a conscious way. That now we realize the opportunities that we have living life in Bharatvarsha or living life on planet Earth. Typically, we can say that is Bharatvarsha. As a human, in the human species, we should be grateful for this opportunity And we should engage in all the prescribed activities in a very favorable consciousness, in the attitude of with an attitude of or the consciousness of wanting to render unmotivated service. Such regret is expressed by not only by the residents of heaven, but we find that even the residents of the human planetary systems or the Manushya Loka also express regret or helplessness. 5,000 years ago, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead had established the principles of Dharma through installing Yudhishthira Maharaj as the emperor of the planet, the Lord realized that he had spent quite some time in the city of Hastinapur, and his devotees in Dwaraka were feeling separation from him, and he was feeling separation from them. So the Lord seeks permission to leave Hastinapur and go back to Dwaraka. And that desire of the Lord makes Mother Kunti or Queen Kunti offer prayers to the Lord. And these prayers have been worshipped in many generations as very inspiring prayers. The prayers of Queen Kunti. Many devotees, they read these prayers again and again and again, and they feel very inspired, very much inspired. So in those prayers, Queen Kunti is expressing her helplessness, and some of this helplessness is born out of regret. She is praying to Krishna that now the war is over and my sons are safe. The citizens are safe. The planets, the burden of uncultured people has been lessened, has become a little less on planet Earth. And the Earth planet is now so happy, and she's expressing her happiness by giving her bountifuls. And all this is possible simply by your grace, by your glance, auspiciousness has been achieved. Everyone's life has become very auspicious. So maybe this is inspiring you to leave us in this auspicious surroundings and go to Dwarka. So Queen Kunti is feeling separation, although she realizes that the Supreme Lord is always available through service. There is also the need for a devotee to serve the Lord, Lord's form, Devapu Seva, we call it in our Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding, Vapu Seva, Sanskrit word, Vapu, serving the form of the Lord. So now the Lord, Lord's form is traveling from Hastinapur to Dwarka, and Queen Kunti has to stay in Hastinapur. So the Lord has, the Lord is omnipresent, and at the same time, the Lord also has a transcendental form that can travel places. So he is potent enough to do that. That he can travel places, leave one place and go to another place in his transcendental form. At the same time, he's also omnipresent. So Queen Kunti is seeing the Lord exhibit this pastime or this activity of traveling from Hastinapur to Dwarka, which basically means the Lord's Vapu form, his transcendental form in the physical sense, will be leaving Hastinapur. So although everything is very favorable and auspicious, she addresses the Lord and says that, "My dear Lord, you are leaving us amongst enemies." And she is not being delirious here. She is not being over-imaginative here. The war has recently been over, and a lot of kings have been annihilated in this war. Their children are still alive and well. And it is quite possible that some of them may want to, some of them may feel angry at what has happened and may feel that they need to seek justice through revenge. So in one sense, what she is saying is true from the worldly perspective, although most of the kingdoms had accepted the sovereignty and had become the vassals, or they had become they had accepted Hastinapur as being their sovereign king, king of Hastinapur as being the sovereign king, the emperor. So they had all accepted that. There were treaties already in place. So everything is good. However, the chance there is a chance that some of these kingdoms in the future seek some kind of retribution. So she expresses that. And she tells the Lord that, "My dear Lord, in your absence, we will be surrounded by enemies and it will be unfavorable. And you, without you here, we are helpless." And in her desperation, she, born out of helplessness, her desperation is because of her helplessness, seeing that the Lord is ready to go. She creates a situation that is not real. She creates a virtual situation, or she prays for a situation which typically people would not, because Krishna is leaving. So what does she pray for? She prays for having calamities in her life. Vipata santuta shashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunar bhava darshanam. She prays for having calamities in her life, like severe calamities. That is what she is aspiring to have in her life. The reason being, she is convinced that whenever there are vipada, or whenever there are calamities in their life, the Supreme Lord is present there to protect them. And if there are no calamities, then he may go to another place where people need his assistance. So she prays that she may always be in places of calamities, because that helps her see the transcendental form of the Lord and feel being in his presence and serving him. So this is the nature of a devotee, and we see that similar sentiment is being offered by Kunti Maharani. These prayers are there in the first canto. Not only that, she also expresses some kind of regret, a little regret, or she prays for freedom. And What kind of freedom is she praying for? She's praying for freedom from the bondage of the relationship that she has with the Pandavas and with the Vrishnis. The Vrishni dynasty is the dynasty in which the Supreme Lord descended into. Shri Krishna is a Vrishni, just as his father Vasudev is a Vrishni. And Vasudev's sister is Pritha or Kunti. And therefore Kunti is also a Vrishni. She is from the Vrishni clan. At the same time, she is married to the descendant of the descendants of the throne of Hastinapur, the Kuru dynasty, to King Pandu. And those who are in the lineage of King Pandu are called as Pandavas. So her sons are called as Pandavas. So because of her marriage to King Pandu, she's one of the Pandavas. In the sense, she belongs to the family of King Pandu. And she also belongs to the family of the Vrishnis, since she is the sister of Vasudeva, who is a Vrishni. And she is seeking freedom from these connections. Now, both of these families, one is a family in which the Supreme Lord is born, so that families or the Supreme Lord has appeared, and that is a glorious family. And the other is a family of great devotees like Arjuna and Bhimasen and the other Pandavas too. So, why is that happening? What kind of freedom is she asking for? What is her regret? So, this is her prayer in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Atha Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Swakeshume Sneha Pasham Mimam Chindi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnushu. So, Sneha Pasham, the bondages of affection that she has for her relatives, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. So she's asking Krishna to chindi, to sever, to uncut, sorry, to cut, not uncut, but to cut that bondage, that rope that is binding her, the rope of affection that is binding her to these relationships. From one perspective, it is very, very favorable situation to have devotees in one's family, or to have to have personalities in a family that are favored by the Supreme Lord. So it is a very good situation. At the same time, because there is a family relationship, there is the possibility that one may become attached to that connection that one has with them as family relations. And this connection can result in sneha pash, or bondages of affection. And affection for devotees is healthy. However, the idea of affection in this material world, since this material world is a world of duality, in this material world, even affection can lead to the opportunity to be disposed towards seeking some material satisfaction. There is that possibility. Now, in the spiritual world, one always has one's free will as one has in the material world. And in the spiritual world, the free will only has opportunities to choose between various options of unmotivated service. In the material world, the world of duality, one has one can make choices between various options of spiritual emancipation, various opportunities for spiritual advancement. And there are also At the same time, there are also opportunities for being distracted towards material gratification, towards, let us say, finding shelter in material activities. So those opportunities are also available. And it seems that Queen Kunti is expressing that understanding that, my dear Lord, I am in a family of devotees. I am having the opportunity to associate with you. At the same time, since this is the material world, there is a snehapash. There is this rope of affection that can bind me here to material existence. Just as the denizens of heaven feel that lack of material miseries and a lot of material happiness in the heavenly planets actually is a distraction. Similarly, Queen Kunti here feels that family affection can be a distraction. So we see that in this material world, those who are interested in spiritual advancement, they see this danger in this material world. Whether they are denizens of heaven, whether they are in the family of devotees, whatever is the situation, there is the possibility that one could be distracted. Similarly, we see such a helpless attitude in another personality. And who is that? That is the great devotee Prahlad. Shri Prahlad Maharaj, he sees that Lord Narsingadev has appeared. And he has put an end to the tyranny of his father, King Hiranyakashipu. But the Lord has liberated him. And the Lord is still angry, and the demigods are headed by and the devtas, and they are all headed by Lord Brahma. They are not able to approach the Lord because of his anger. So they request him to approach the Lord, and he approaches the Lord through prayers. Or he approaches the Lord and offers prayers to the Lord. And in his prayers, he mentions that although he is born in a family of asuras, that is how the word has been translated as, still he has the opportunity to offer prayers to the Lord. So what Prahlad Maharaj states is, Kim tushtum arhati same hari ugra jathe. Kim tushtum arhati sa. Arhati sa, by offering worship, kim tushtum, what is the possibility that I can satisfy the Supreme Lord? Same hari. So what he is saying is, arhati same hari hi kim tushtum. How is it possible that I can satisfy the Supreme Lord through my worship or through my prayers? Why? Ugra jate hai. Because I have been born in a family that is very ugra, that is very much disinclined towards the Lord and more inclined towards activities that take us away from the service of the Lord. So that is ugra jate. So for our benefit, Srila Prabhupada's translation says that ugra jate means born in a family of asuras. Because typically an asura is a person who is disinclined towards the Supreme Lord. So that is how Shloka presents it in the English language. The Sanskrit says, ugrajate, ugrajati, or been born in a family that is Ugra towards whom? Harihi Ugra, towards Lord Hari, because the word Hari is used. So towards the Supreme Personality of God. Not favorably inclined towards the Supreme Personality of God. So he also is expressing his regret, or let's say helplessness, because his situation is not very favorable. And so he is also kind of feeling that those who are the devatas, those who are the denizens of heaven, when they are born, when those who are born in those families, you know, because they perform a lot of charities and austerities and become the residents of the heavenly planets. So they are part of the family structure there. So in those families, everyone is disposed favorably towards the Lord. And Prahlad Maharaj here feels that in comparison to that, because in this verse itself, Suragana, the word is also used. Those who are the residents of the heavenly planets. And he explains that these people are they're in a much better situation. Whereas my situation is really not very good, or it's horrible. So how is it possible that I can offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Especially seeing that until this moment, those who have all facilities to satisfy the Lord, they are actually being unsuccessful, such as Brahmaji, other saintly personalities who are all gathered there. So they are being unsuccessful. So how is it possible? So he feels himself very unqualified. So we see that this quality of feeling helpless in this material world is quite common to all those who are favorable towards the Supreme Lord. Which brings us to the point that what is the lesson that we can learn from this? If we read the purport that Srila Prabhupada has given, then we see that he is so strongly emphasizing and indicating through his words that we should be grateful that we have this opportunity, and we should in that gratitude we should express that through serious devotional activities of service, like really put our senses, engage our senses, engage this body and the mind in serving the Lord. And the feeling of gratitude is very, very favorable state of consciousness. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage too, so we have seen examples of devotees from the past, from the scriptures, specifically the Srimad Bhagavatam. We see that there are devotees in the heavenly planets who are expressing helplessness and regret. We see that devotees in the middle planetary systems, like Queen Kunti, who's expressing that. And we've seen devotees like Prahlad, who's in the lower planetary systems, expressing similar sentiments. In all the planetary systems, those who serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead always seek his shelter. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage also, we see through the prayers of our acharyas, they express similar sentiments. Hari Hari Viphale Janam Goyino Manushya Janam Apaya Radha Krishna Nabhojiya Chaniya Shaniya Visha Kaino janiya shuniya vishakaino. Having taken on this human form of life, manushya janamapaya, I have wasted my time in other activities and have not chanted the names of Sri Radha and Krishna. I have not rendered sufficient service unto them. This is just like drinking poison. This is Narottam Das Thakur. Willingly consuming poison to destroy my life. So, he, as a resident of the human species, as a resident of, you know, the human society, is expressing this prayer. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now we'll come to a conclusion that we've discussed what is the situation in this material world. We've seen through the eyes and the realization of personalities from all the various levels in the universe, how one has to be focused and try not to be distracted in this material existence. We've seen that. So, how should we express our understanding in this situation, and how should we relate to it consciously? How should we connect with this understanding consciously, sincerely? And what should be the expression through our actions? Because we definitely use our senses to do certain activities. So how should we do that? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was visiting South India, he met the Kurma Brahman. The description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travel after he crossed the river Mahanadi from Katak. He bade farewell to Gadadhar Pandit, asked him to go back to Shri Kshetra, Jagannath Puri. He traveled across the river Mahanadi towards the south. So the next place that has been described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is Kurma Kshetra. Srikakulam in today's the Srikakulam district, that is Kurma Kshetra from 500 years ago. This is where there is a temple of Lord Purmadi. So there he meets a Brahmana who has been just called as a Kurma Brahmana. He spends time there with him, spends the night discussing Krishna Katha with him, favors him and his family, and the next day he departs. When he has departed, another Brahman of the name Vasudev, who's called as Vasudev Vipra in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he comes to the village of the Kurma Brahmana and he meets him because he wants to take the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he realizes that the Lord has left. So he is completely distressed and he falls down to the ground in lamentation. The Lord comes back. Immediately the Lord manifests. He backtracks and he touches the body of the of Vasudev Vipra. Now Vasudev Vipra, Vipra's body is covered with sores, oozing pus, blood, and it is infested with worms because he's suffering from leprosy, an infected form of leprosy. Interesting to note is that when he approaches a Kurma Brahmana, the Kurma Brahmana also treats him in a very decent way. So we see the integrity of the Kurma Brahmana also. When Lord Chaitanya comes to that place, Kaviraj Goswami writes, ಪ್ರಭು ಸ್ಪರ್ಶ ದುಃಖ ಸಂಗೆ ಕುಷ್ಠ ದೂರ ಗೇಲ ಆನಂದ ಸಹಿತೆ ಅಂಗ ಸುಂದರ ಹೋಯ್ಲ. ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಎಂಬ್ರೇಸಸ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಟಚ್ ನಾಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಡಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಲ್ಯಾಮೆಂಟೇಷನ್ ಗೋ ಅವೇ ಬಟ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಕುಷ್ಠ ಆರ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಲೆಪ್ರಸಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಗೋಸ್ ಅವೇ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಗೆಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಹೆಲ್ದಿ ಬಾಡಿ ಗ್ಲೋಯಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ಹೆಲ್ತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸ್ಟ್ರೆಂಥ್. His body is very beautiful. He gets a very beautiful body. So there is this transformation, physical transformation too. Anga sundara haila. Sundara means beautiful. So the Kushta Brahmana sees that. And the, Vasudev Vipra sees that he has got that blessing from Lord Chaitanya. So he immediately feels that Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. Just as Krishna is merciful to Sudama Brahmana, similarly, Lord Chaitanya has been merciful to him, although he does not deserve such mercy. Kwaam daritra papiyam kwa Krishna Sriniketana Brahma Bandhur itismaham bahubhyam parirambitah. Now these are the prayers which were offered by the Sudama Brahman, who also, if you see, he has received the mercy of Krishna in Dwarka, and still he feels. When he's coming back from Dwarka, he's meditating on Krishna. And this is how he feels that I am simply a sinful person. And because of my past sinful deeds, I am in such a poor state of existence. Externally, I'm poverty stricken. I'm weak, thin, and constantly miserable. And Krishna is Sriniketan, the Supreme Personality of God. Still, he embraced me. He remembered that. As soon as Krishna saw him, Krishna had tears in his eyes and he raced. He forgot, he left behind all of his servants and his queens of Dwarka, and he ran towards his friend Sudama and embraced him. So he remembered that. And he feels that I'm so unqualified and still Krishna is so merciful. And he embraced me. So again, he also feels that because of his disqualification, he is not, because of his poverty-stricken existence based on his past sinful deeds, and he's not qualified to meet Krishna, and still Krishna met him. So he also, similarly, Vasudev Brahmana, the Vasudev Vipra, he chants the same prayers for glorifying Lord Chaitanya. He knows that Lord Chaitanya is Supreme Lord, and he expresses his own inadequacies. And then he says to the Lord that, my dear Lord, now that I have achieved your mercy and I'll be seen as the very exhibition of your mercy. It is like I have become a target now. You know, your glance of mercy has put me on a spot where I will be glorified. So, pride may arise within my heart. You have cured me of leprosy, my dear Lord, by your mercy. I am so fallen. I will need to give birth to pride within my heart. People will glorify me. Everyone will call me as a person who has achieved the mercy of the Lord. So even in this situation, he feels regret. Just as the denizens of heaven, they have such an opportunity to serve the Lord. The Lord is personally present as Upendra. Still they express regret. Similarly, Vasudev Brahman and gives him a path to follow. He shows him a solution and encourages him to follow that path. प्रभु कहे कभु तोमार ना होबे अभिमान निरंतर कहो तुम्ही कृष्ण कृष्ण नाम. द लॉर्ड सेड दैट यू विल नेवर नेवर फॉल प्रे टू फॉल्स प्राइड प्रोवाइडेड यू ऑलवेज चैंट द हरे कृष्ण मंत्र इनसेसेंटली चैंट द हरे कृष्ण मंत्र. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे हे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण उपदेश कर जीवे निस्तार चिरे कृष्ण तोमा करिबे अंगीकार. एंड प्लीज प्रीच अबाउट कृष्ण टू अदर लिविंग एंटिटीज एंड हेल्प देम ऑल्सो सीक लिबरेशन. इन दिस वे कृष्ण वुड वेरी सून accept him as a devotee. So this is what we can all engage in. We have realized the dangers of material existence wherever you are, whichever situation in life. Vasudeva Vipra received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and within that also he saw the danger of being becoming falsely proud. So the Lord assured him that if present times you engage in two activities, one, you chant the holy names of Krishna, and two, you always talk about Krishna to others. In this way, your senses will be engaged with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna. We'll stop here. Any comments or feedback? Any questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanu Pranam. Very beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Very nice examples of Kunti Maharani, Prahlad Maharaj. Very nice references from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I loved your singing, Prabhu. You sang a bhajan and then some nice references from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Love it. Yeah. Chaitanya Charitamrita is so easy to grab for some reason. It's just amazing. I was reading also a purport of Srila Prabhupada. What an amazing purport again. His purports are our life and soul. And how beautifully he continuously just asks us to take the Harinam, name of the Lords. And I was looking at another few things, you know, Bharat Bhumi Le Haila Manusha Janam Yara, how scriptures are continuously pushing us that this human form of life is so important. This is what Srila Prabhupada is saying in Purport 2. And I remembered a bhajan that I used to sing when I was not still in Krishna consciousness. Manusha Janam Anmol Re Mitti Mena Mol Re. It's such a beautiful form of life. We should seek association of devotees and just chant the glories of the Lord. So thank you so much, Prabhu. Very, very, very beautiful class. Very enlightening, Prabhu. Thank you for your services. Dear devotees, if anybody has any questions for Prabhuji, any realizations, please go ahead. Raise your hand or unmute yourself. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. I thought I was still maybe not audible or not visible. Okay. There is in the chat box, Flavia Mataji is saying thanks for the beautiful class and very clearly explained. Thank you, Flavia Mataji. Any other devotee has any questions or any realization, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. It was so wonderful class. So you told about how Vasudeva Vipra was saying that he shouldn't be materially observed even when he got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So that was really wonderful, Prabhuji. So because being in devotional service, sometimes we as devotees, we get some services. We say, okay, I got this service, I got that service. Those things. So in that case, it just struck in my mind, okay, we should not get puffed up of all these services also which we get. So that was really wonderful, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Very nice class with Kunti prayers and Chaitanya Charitamrita verses. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Anita Mataji. There is another comment from Indulekha Mataji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for explaining from so many examples how devotees feel totally unqualified to glorify or receive mercy of the Lord. Nanva Pranam. Yeah, so true, Mataji. The devotees, anybody has any questions for Prabhuji?
So we can stop.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for coming us and enlightening us on this topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dear devotees, let us pray our obeisances to Prabhuji.
Vancha kalpataru bhaisya cha kripa sindhu bhai vacha bhutanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.
ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की प्रभुपाद जी की इस ग्रेस रोहिणी प्रिया दास प्रभु जी की
जय।